That's John Coltrane with his classic quartet, McCoy Tyner at the piano, Jimmy Garrison on bass, and Elvin Jones on drums. John Coltrane is, of course, one of jazz's most iconic and important figures, and he's the subject of a new documentary. It's called Chasing Train, and it airs Monday night at 9:30 Central, 8:30 Mountain on SDPB-TV. It kicks off the new season of Independent Lens. The film is produced by John Scheinfeld. He's produced documentaries about other music greats, including The U.S. versus John Lennon, and Who is Harry Nilsson, and why is everybody talking about him? He's with me on the line, and John, thanks for joining me on Jazz Nightly.
Thanks for having me, Carl.
Well, why did you want to produce a documentary about John Coltrane?
Well, actually, I should say I am the writer and the director. We have a handful of other producers, but I am the filmmaker behind the film. And one of our producers had come to me and said, how would you like to make a film about John Coltrane? And like many people, I had been introduced to Coltrane through his recording of My Favorite Things, which is fantastic. And from that, I got to know and be inspired by A Love Supreme. But I will confess to you, I was not an obsessed Coltrane fan at the time. I am now, but I wasn't then. So I looked into his story, and the more that I read about him, the more I thought this was a very unique and compelling tale. We all know the cliche of the young artist who comes from nowhere, armed with great talent, makes a lot of money, abuses substances, and dies young as a result of that abuse. And we know that story, but Coltrane in so many ways was the antithesis of that story. Yes, he had his challenges, but it's when he overcame them that he really began to ascend. He really began to get in touch with his genius, and that the art really exploded. And to me, that's a very uplifting and inspiring story of a guy who did something the right way. And I felt that was something I needed to tell.
So how did you start work on the documentary? Did you start with just an outline or a framework or what you wanted to cover? Or do you just start talking to people, investigating, researching, and then seeing where the film, the story will take you?
Great question. It's not like making a scripted film where you are working with a script and then you cast it and shoot it. A story about John Coltrane, you could have told that 10, 20, 100 different ways. So I feel it's, as a filmmaker, I feel it's very important and also very responsible to begin with a general, what I call a roadmap, which is you know the basic points you want to cover. In this case, I set out wanting to not do a blow-by-blow, a year-by-year, but rather to look at the critical events in Coltrane's life that helped shape the man and the musician. So once I identified those and have done all my other research, then we decide who I want to interview in the film to help tell the story. And so once I decide on who those people are, I prepare my questions, I ask them, we shoot the interviews. Only then, when most of the interviews are done, will I actually sit down and write a script. And a script in a documentary is not words a narrator says. A script is really laying out the entire film, soundbite by soundbite, including references to photographs, film, performance footage, really laying out the entire narrative of the film. And so once that is done, then my editor, Peter Lynch, who's fantastic, comes in and he starts to work his magic, and then it becomes very much a collaborative process through the end of production.
You mentioned that one of the things you wanted to do in this documentary, Chasing Train, was to tell the story of John Coltrane, the man. Now, this is someone who's been gone for about 50 years, and I don't know if he did all that many interviews. I don't know how many recordings there are of hearing John Coltrane speaking. How difficult was it to tell that story, to capture who John Coltrane was as a man beyond just being a musician?
Well, it is the challenge of every documentary to be able to bring your subject alive. As I mentioned, early on in the process, I decide who it is I want to help me tell the story. And in the case of Chasing Train, I pretty much divided this into four categories. First category were people that knew and worked with Coltrane so that they could speak with credibility and legitimacy to who he was as a man and who he was as a musician. So we have jazz legends Benny Golson, Jimmy Heath, Sonny Rollins, Wayne Shorter, and they could really speak to certain times in Coltrane's life. Then I wanted family members because they always give you a more intimate view into the life of the subject. So we have four of Coltrane's children, two of his stepdaughters and two of his sons. And then I wanted to have artists who are hugely successful in their own right, but who claim Coltrane as an influence, so they can speak to how the work impacted them. And so we have people like Common and John Densmore and Wynton Marsalis and Carlos Santana and Kamasi Washington. And then I always, Carl, like to have some people in the film that people like you or your listeners will say, what the heck are they doing in this film? And in this case, that's Cornel West and Bill Clinton. In the case of Cornel West, I had wanted him initially to speak to the black experience in America, because that's Coltrane emerged from that. But imagine my surprise when we sat down, and it turns out he's an obsessed Coltrane fan. He knew incidents in Coltrane's life. He knew dates. He knew times. He knew friends. He knew producers. He knew recording dates. It was all that kind of stuff. I thought I was going to have to make those connections in the editing room, but he made them for me, which is a real godsend. And then the president, I knew he was a fan, but those of your listeners that come to see the film will see how thoughtful, eloquent, and passionate and knowledgeable the president is about John Coltrane. So with all of those voices combining, I was able to cover nearly every aspect of Coltrane's life. But this is why you asked a very good question. There were some things that needed to be said that none of those other people could. And because Coltrane in his lifetime had not done any television interviews that we know of and had only done a handful of radio interviews, and those radio interviews, the sound wasn't good enough for me to use. But happily, he had done a number of print interviews during his career for magazines and newspapers. So I took, and he'd also written liner notes for some of his albums. So I took words of John Coltrane from those sources and peppered them throughout the film to illuminate what he might have been thinking or feeling at a particular time. And because I am from the Midwest and I am relentlessly optimistic, I decided I wanted those words to be read by a movie star. So I went to a casting director friend of mine who very graciously agreed to help. And making a long story short, we got Denzel Washington to agree to read these words. And not only is he a superb actor and one of the biggest stars in my business, but all of the people that knew Coltrane described him to me as a man of quiet strength. And if you look at most of the roles that Denzel has played throughout his career, they are characters of quiet strength. And that's what he brings to speaking these words. And he really and truly elevates the whole film and really helps bring Coltrane alive. And as I said, that was one of our objectives, was to bring him alive as a three-dimensional human being.
There's an interview that you have with his stepdaughter. And I think it's one of these stories. It's just a simple story about John Coltrane, but I think it gets at that quiet strength. And that's the story that she tells when she needs some shoes. And in order to save money to buy those shoes, he walks home after a gig and instead of taking a taxi or transportation somehow.
That's right. And there's a couple of interesting things about that. That was his stepdaughter, Antonia. And she was about 11, 12 at the time. And she has never, ever given an interview about John Coltrane. And it took me about 4.5 months to persuade her to do it. And I'm so glad she did, because there's a moment like you just described, which really helps get at the heart of who he was as a man and as a father. She didn't want to tell the story at first, or she didn't think I'd be interested in it. Not because it was too private or not because it was too personal. She just thought it was so small, like, why would I be interested? And as a filmmaker, you love those small stories that tell you very big things about your subjects. And that's one of those stories. And again, that's when I talk about a more intimate view of our character. That's what family members can provide.
This is Jazz Nightly on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke, and my guest is John Scheinfeld. He's made a new film, a documentary about saxophonist John Coltrane. It's called Chasing Train, and the film opens the new season of Independent Lens on SDPB-TV, and you can see it Monday night, 9:30 Central, 8:30 Mountain. And, John, you were talking about Cornel West being an obsessive John Coltrane fan. Are there things in this film for the obsessive John Coltrane fans, along with those who are have heard of John Coltrane but don't really know anything about him?
I set out not to make a film for obsessed Coltrane fans, not to make a film even for jazz fans. What I wanted to do was do a portrait of a remarkable artist and make that portrait of interest and accessible to everyone. And in fact, we premiered a year ago at two of the most prestigious film festivals in my business, Telluride and Toronto. And then we had a theatrical run between April and July. We were in 150 screens across America, and a very broad audience came to see us. So there were Coltrane fans, but there were people, maybe they'd heard a little bit, maybe they knew a little bit. But I really would encourage all your listeners that you don't have to know anything about John Coltrane to watch this film. But it's also important to make the point, it isn't just for jazz fans. Jazz fans will appreciate it in a different way. But I'm very mindful of something that Coltrane said in one of these interviews that Denzel speaks in the film. And what Coltrane said was, "I myself don't recognize the word jazz. I mean, we're sold under this name, but to me the word doesn't exist. I just feel that I play John Coltrane." And I think that's an important thing to know about him, is he didn't pay attention to pigeonholes and barriers and boundaries. He was taking his music where he wanted it to go, pushing the envelope, trying new things, incorporating new sounds, all of which the best, the iconic musicians do. And that's what he did in that brilliant 10 years after he got clean from his addictions. And I think that's to be admired greatly.
One of the most surprising things to me was hearing John Coltrane's very first recordings, which are featured in Chasing Train, made when I believe he was in the Navy during World War II. And he doesn't sound very good, and it's amazing how far he had yet to go as a musician. And that's one of the most amazing things about telling this story of the growth of an artist during what was a relatively short life.
Yes, some artists emerge fully formed. Most don't. And I think Coltrane was someone that benefited greatly from the many influences in his life, from his grandfathers and father and mother, from the music that he heard on the radio as a young child, from the musicians he met along the way, from the sounds that he heard, whether they were on the radio or on record or in person. All of this, I guess an interesting way to describe him perhaps is he was a great sponge, absorbed so much, and it got mixed around and then came out as John Coltrane. And it took him a while to get there. He had his own demons to overcome, but he also had to find himself at the right time where he had absorbed absolutely everything that helped him get there. And it took him a while. And we are the beneficiaries of that process.
I should mention that visually, this is a very beautiful film to look at, and throughout it, you also use some very colorful illustrations. I'm wondering where those illustrations came from.
Well, part of the challenge, another challenge, I should say, of making documentaries is to make the film visually dynamic and interesting. And filmmakers have different tools with which to do that. In documentaries, you have photos, you have home movies, you have performance footage. But there will always be those moments where you don't have, where there was not a camera there to record something, where you need to have something else. And I had seen a book called Spirit Seeker by a gentleman named Gary Golio. And there were illustrations in the book of moments from Coltrane's life where there was no camera there to capture them. And they were done by this artist who lives in New Jersey named Rudy Gutierrez. And I just fell in love with them. And I said, I got to have these in my film. So we reached out to Rudy and talked to him and eventually went out to see him at his studio in New Jersey. And long story short, he gave us permission to use probably 20 of his very unique, very beautiful paintings. And the best thing about it for me was he illustrated many moments that we were talking about before where there was just no camera there. So I could tell stories from Coltrane's life when he was a child or when he was a teenager or when he was kicking his addiction, that there were no photographs and no film, but here was a beautiful impressionistic painting that we could make use of. And so Rudy, a big part of our film.
John Coltrane died 50 years ago. What do you think his legacy is today?
I think the fact that you are interviewing me about him today speaks volumes. There are many artists who were important or sold a lot of records in their day, but then are largely forgotten or will be forgotten. I think, for example, Kurt Cobain from Nirvana, I think 50 years from now, no one's going to be talking about him. But the fact that here we are 50 years on from Coltrane's death, and people like you and your listeners are still listening to him and interested in him and wondering about him and will come and see a movie about him, all of those things I think speak to how profound an impact he has made on the musical landscape. And to me, that is to be celebrated. I've been asked a few times, where do I think he might have gone musically had he lived? And I think there's no way to know that. In fact, Sonny Rollins said to me, I did ask that question, and Sonny just looked at me and laughed, and he said, you don't expect me to answer that question, do you? And his point was well taken. Is John was always pushing the envelope, always incorporating new sounds, and it's hard to say where he would have gone beyond saying that you can be sure he would have been on the cutting edge. That wherever he was going is where the rest of the world would have gone with him.
One of the most moving moments in the film comes near the end when you're talking with tenor saxophonist Benny Golson, and he's talking about Coltrane's passing 50 years ago, and he essentially breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for him to talk about.
That's Benny, but that's a very personal reaction. Benny and John Coltrane had known each other since they were both 16 and had spent many years together and shared many experiences together. And what Benny was talking about in that moment was when he got the news that John had died and died so young. But I think also that speaks to the impact that he has on people. You know, I think for many people, if you ask others about them, some people will say nice things, some people may say bad things. Coltrane seems to have been someone about whom very few negative things were said. Everybody who knew him had something very nice to say about him. But the best they could say is he wasn't funny, you know? So in the scheme of things, that's doing very well. He seems to have been a very special and unique individual in so many ways.
And you can certainly hear that in his music.
You bet.
John Scheinfeld is the writer and director of a new documentary about John Coltrane. It's called Chasing Train. The film opens the new season of Independent Lens on SDPB-TV. You can see it Monday night at 9:30 Central, 8:30 Mountain. And John, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us on Jazz Nightly.
My pleasure. Happy to be here, and thanks for all the enthusiasm and the kind words.